Matthew chapter 3, we're going to read verse 13 to 17 together. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is God's word to us this morning. Let's pray and ask for his help to understand. Father, once again we praise you that you speak to us. Thank you for the privilege that it is to be gathered this morning to hear you speak. And help us to listen as those who really are listening to the God of the universe. Help us to see that this is the most important thing we could be doing right now. And please speak to us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. This here is my wedding ring. My wedding ring is made of silver. At least that's what they told me when I bought it in the shop. But I know that they're not telling a lie. I know it's the truth, because if I was to look really carefully, on the inside of my ring, there is a stamp. There is a hallmark. What that hallmark says is that this silver is the real deal. It means that they've done tests and they've found that this is genuine silver. It's not fake, it's the real deal. And so they say, "Look, here's the stamp which shows you really can trust it." And it's not just silver, it's not just jewelry that you can trust if it's the real deal. If something is the real deal, you can trust it. And if someone is the real deal, you can trust them. So Luke was telling me, where's Luke? Oh, here, right in front of my face. Okay. Luke was telling me that he was training in his football team recently, and someone came to join their training for a few weeks, who not long ago was playing for Real Madrid. Right? Real Madrid are one of the top teams in the world. So this guy is an expert. He knows what he's talking about. He's the real deal. And so if someone like that gives you some football tips, you're going to listen to him, and you're going to follow his example. If someone is the real deal, you can trust them, and you can follow their example. Now, these verses that we just read, they are like a stamp, the hallmark on the inside of my ring, which says, Jesus is the real deal. He is the true Messiah. He really is the promised rescuer. That's what the Messiah means. The promised one who was going to come and fix all the problems. Who was going to fix the problem that we have got a broken relationship with God because of our rebellion against him. The Messiah was the promised one who was going to come and rescue us from that situation. And these verses tell us Jesus is the real deal. You can trust him. In these first three chapters of Matthew, we've been looking at them over the last few weeks. And Matthew has been stacking up the evidence that Jesus is the promised rescuer. He's picked up different strands from Old Testament writings, and he's shown that they all weave together in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the real deal. And so far, Jesus has ticked all the Messiah boxes. He's in the family line of Abraham. He's in the kingly line of David. He's born of a virgin, just like was promised. He's born in the right town, the town of Bethlehem. The people of Israel, they've been waiting, longing, hungry for the Messiah to finally come. And now, here's a guy who might just be the one. But the proof is in the pudding. We don't really know if Jesus is the real deal until we see him in action. And finally, he's here. Look at verse 13. Then Jesus came. This is the first we hear of Jesus as an adult. What's he going to be like? Is he the real deal? You know when someone recommends something to you, maybe it's a meal or a movie or a book, something like that, and they say, "You've got to read this book. It's the best book you'll ever read. You've got to see this movie. It will blow you away. You need to go to that restaurant. It's amazing." And so you do, And so often it's a bit disappointing, isn't it? Not as good as they said it was going to be. Is that the case with Jesus? Has Matthew kind of built it up a bit too much? Is Jesus going to disappoint? Well, these verses confirm, like a rubber stamp, Jesus really is the real deal. Now, maybe some of us are struggling to trust Jesus this morning. Maybe there are circumstances in your life that make trusting Jesus really difficult right now. Maybe you've never trusted Jesus at all for the forgiveness of your sins. I want to show us from these verses why we really can trust Jesus, the Messiah, the real deal, and why we can follow his example. And there are two halves to this stamp that says Jesus is the real deal. There's two halves. The first mark is he's one of us. That's the first thing. He's one of us. What kind of entrance would you expect from the King of the Universe? I don't know if you remember watching the London 2012 Olympics and the opening ceremony that came. It was just down the road, wasn't it, in Stratford at the Olympic Stadium there. And I don't know if you remember watching it. It was an amazing ceremony, full of lights and cameras and action, full of fireworks, full of music, full of celebrities making all sorts of appearances. That's the word I'm looking for. Did anyone see it? Did you watch the opening ceremony? Okay, you might remember. I think probably the highlight of the opening ceremony was when the Queen made her entrance. And so you might remember there was a little film that was made. And in the film, Daniel Craig, as James Bond, goes into Buckingham Palace and he interrupts the Queen and he takes the Queen out of Buckingham Palace and into a waiting helicopter. The helicopter takes off and it flies across London towards the Olympic Stadium. And the film shows this journey as it happens. And then, live in the stadium, you could look up and see that there was a helicopter coming into view above the stadium. And then the Queen jumped out of the helicopter and parachuted into the Olympic Stadium. Now, I'm told that apparently it wasn't the Queen. I was a bit disappointed. I thought she did her own stunts, but apparently not. But it was very funny, and it was at that point that the Queen, the actual Queen, came onto stage for the first time, and it was almost as if she had arrived from the helicopter. It was very well done. And maybe that's the kind of entrance that you would expect from Jesus, the King of the Universe. This is the God of creation coming. This is the promised Messiah. After all of those years, you'd expect him to come with something of a bang. But actually, it's really low key. Look at verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Jesus came from Galilee. That's the place where he'd grown up. And so this marks the start of his public ministry. And what does he do first? He comes to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Loads of people were doing that. There's nothing special about that. Look at verse 5 of chapter 3. Back in chapter 3, verse 5. People went out to him, that's John, from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. Crowds of people were streaming to the river. And Jesus, he's just another face in the crowd. He's one of them. These people had heard John's call to repentance. They confess their sins. They are baptized by him. And as they get baptized, they are saying, I'm not fit for God's royal family. I'm not ready for the Messiah. I've lived for myself without reference to God. There is a dark stain of wrongdoing in my life. I need to be washed. That's what they were saying. And Jesus, the one who they were waiting for, he walks alongside them. He rubs shoulders with them. He's one of us. There's several biographies of Prince Harry. One of them is called The People's Prince. His mum was called The People's Princess. And he is now known as The People's Prince. He has a mixed reputation. But one of the things we love about Harry is that he doesn't just stay in the palaces and in the private clubs and up on his high horse, but he actually spends time with real people. He rubs shoulders with us. He stops and takes selfies with fans. He goes to sporting events and sits in the crowd. No doubt he's privileged, but we like to think he's one of us, the people's prince. And Jesus is the people's prince. He marks his entrance not with a ceremony or fireworks or lights and cameras and action, not by jumping out of a helicopter into a stadium, but by quietly emerging from a crowd of ordinary people. He walks their path, even down into the Jordan River. He waits his turn, and then he is baptized by John. Verse 14. But John tried to deter him. He tried to stop him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? John recognizes that Jesus isn't just the next guy in the queue. He says, whoa. Wait a minute. This is the wrong way around. Jesus, you're the guy that I was just telling everyone about. You're the one coming who is more powerful than me. I'm not worthy of carrying your sandals, let alone baptizing you. No, this isn't right. You don't need me to baptize you. I need you to baptize me. I need that purifying baptism of the Spirit that I was just telling everyone about. Jesus, no, you're too great. You're too mighty for me to baptize you. Verse 15, Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus says, this is my path. This is the path of the Messiah. It might not be what you expected, but this is proper. It's right. It's good. He says, this fulfills all righteousness. What does that mean? It means this is what obeying God looks like. This is the good and right plan for salvation. The Messiah path is the path of humility. The mighty one becomes low. The royal son becomes one of the people. Jesus gave up status. He gave up comfort. He gave up privilege to become one of us. And that's a mark of the real deal. This is the God that we worship. It's wonderful. It's a God unlike any other God. Emmanuel, God with us, the creator stepping into creation, the glorious one becoming unremarkable, royalty robed in the flesh he created. A God who knows that the only hope for the human race is if he becomes one of us. So as Jesus is baptized, this is a hugely significant moment, because what Jesus is saying is, I'm one of you. Remember, John's baptism was all about saying, I'm not fit for the royal family. Just like we stuck up our hand in that song and said, I need someone to help me. That's what you were saying as you got baptized by John. You were saying, I need washing for my sin. And Jesus says, I'm going to become one of you. He identifies with us in our weak and sinful humanity. Jesus is numbered among the transgressors. This is the start of his path, the Messiah path, a path that would lead to the foot of a hill and then up the hill to a cross. The cross is the place where the sinless one is treated as a sinful one, a place where the mighty one is brought low, where Jesus is treated as if he's not fit for the royal family, where he who knew no sin became sin for us. The cross is where we see that Jesus became one of us. I just think this is wonderful. Jesus is not a God who hides away in heaven and kind of shouts instructions from afar, from a safe distance. In his life in this world, Jesus was not somehow less than human. He didn't hover above the surface of the earth as though it didn't touch him. He came right down, even below the waters of baptism. In his baptism, Jesus identifies with us. Hey, that's good news for us this morning. Jesus is one of us. That's a mark of the real deal. That's what Messiah looks like. And it's so different from what we might expect. Even John the Baptist, he's not sure. He says, well, that doesn't seem very impressive for a religious leader. If you had to create an impressive religious leader, I wonder what it would be like. This week I watched a fascinating documentary about Scientology, which is a cult that was started in 1954 in America by a guy called L. Ron Hubbard. And since his death, a guy called David Miscavige has been the leader. And the whole system is rigged to make him look good, to make him untouchable. There are lots of accusations about terrible things that he's done, but he is painted out to be this magnificent leader, a leader who we're supposed to find impressive. So their annual meetings, they're more like a Hollywood awards ceremony than anything else. There's gold everywhere. There's glitz and glamour. He's there in his smart uniform and inspirational videos, and he speaks for like 2.5 hours. I'm not going to do that this morning, don't worry. Most leaders portray themselves in that way, don't they? That's who we think is impressive. Someone who is mighty, someone who is powerful, someone who is special, someone who is worth listening to. And Jesus arrives in plain clothes normality. In a day and age where we're obsessed with power and image, perhaps it's no surprise that Jesus is not widely recognized as God. In many ways, there's nothing special about him. But that is a mark of the real deal. That's a stamp, a hallmark, which says he is the true Messiah. You see, to be our Savior, Jesus had to be one of us. To bear the guilt of humanity, he had to be truly human. And as Jesus starts out on his ministry, he says, this is the Messiah path. He gave up what is rightfully his and became like us to win us. He's the real deal. That's someone we can trust. And is someone we can follow. Just like this Real Madrid midfielder who was playing along with Luke, I suggest that if he gives Luke any tips, he should probably follow his example, because he knows what he's talking about. He's the real deal. And actually, as followers of the Lord Jesus, we are called, yes, to trust him. He does something that only he can do, but also to follow him. We're called to follow his example of seeking not our own good, but the good of others, that they might be saved. And I've been really challenged this week by the attitude of the Lord Jesus. His humility, unflinching humility. Are you and I willing to leave comfort behind? To give up what is rightfully ours for the sake of people who are nothing like us? Are we willing to spend our time sacrificially to be among the crowds? Will our desire to see people saved take us to places we'd rather not go? Will it cause us to speak to people that we'd rather not talk to? I confess that I find it easy enough to be sacrificial if it's on my own terms and if it's within my comfort zone. But Jesus left the throne room of heaven for the River Jordan. Are we willing to eat food that's not really to our taste and listen to music that we don't really like? Will we spend time with people that we don't naturally click with, and it makes it a lot harder to actually have a conversation? Will we do those things for their good, that they might be saved? Will we work hard at learning languages and cultures? Will we put aside our pride and say bold things, even if it might be a bit of a risk to that relationship? Will we do those things so that we can hold out this good news of a rescuer who is one of us? The Apostle Paul says, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. The two biggest barriers that stop us from having that same attitude and saying that same thing: pride and comfort. But Jesus, the true Messiah, laid aside his comfort and in humility became one of us. Jesus is the real deal. But that alone is not enough. It's not enough just to be one of us. All of us are one of us, right? But Jesus is one of us, and also, secondly, he's not like us. That's the second thing. It might seem like the opposite, but it's not quite. Jesus is one of us, but he's not like us. That's what we see in the second part of our text. Matthew has been stacking up all the evidence that Jesus is the real deal, and now we get to the biggest stamp of all. Listen to verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. Just picture the scene. At that moment, heaven was opened, And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." You know, loads of people were baptized by John, but this never happened to them. Jesus is the real deal. This is a mark that he is unique. Yes, he is one of us, he identifies with us, but also he is not like us. He's unique. This is an event that seems to have particular significance for Jesus himself as he sets out on the Messiah path. After all, in verse 16, it's him who sees the Spirit descend in the shape of a dove. And it seems that the voice from heaven was for his ears first. As the man Christ Jesus sets out on this Messiah path, the path that leads to the cross, his first steps on that path receive this divine approval that he can see and hear. And that divine approval is recorded for us as a stamp. This is God saying, Jesus is the real deal. In fact, it's such a big moment that we see God the Holy Trinity in action. Did you notice that? We have Jesus the Son being baptized, the Holy Spirit come down on him, and the voice of the Father from heaven. The Bible teaches that there is one God and three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. Each person is fully God, and there is only one God. Now, I'm not God, and so I can't understand everything there is to know about the Trinity, but one helpful way to understand the distinct persons and one nature of the Trinity is to think about the different roles that they play, that each person plays. And here we see that very clearly. We see God the Holy Trinity at work in salvation. The Father plans and sends. He has sent the Son in the person of the Lord Jesus, this man who now stands in the river. And now the Father sends the Spirit coming down from heaven, the same place where the voice comes from. The Son humbly obeys. He has been sent with an action plan. He comes out with the crowds to be baptized. Why? Because he is fulfilling all righteousness. He's obeying the plan. He's doing the right thing. The Spirit is sent to equip and enable. It's not that Jesus had no experience of the Spirit up to this point. That's not the case. But now, as he sets out on this Messiah path, the Spirit is sent to symbolically set Jesus apart for everything he would face. It's by the Spirit that Jesus resists temptation in the next chapter. It's by the Spirit that Jesus is able to walk the Messiah path all the way to the cross. So you see how that works? Father, Son, and Spirit. God at work for salvation. Each person of the Trinity joining together for God's stamp of approval. Jesus is the true Messiah. Jesus, the real deal. This really is him. Just as Psalm 2 points us forward to the Messiah being the one whom God calls Son. Just as Isaiah 42 points us forward to the Messiah being the one on whom God would put his Spirit. This really is him. Jesus is the real deal. I often think that when, and I've said this before to you, that when things like alarms go off, it must be because some of us are drifting off and you need to be brought back in. So this is a good opportunity for us to say, thank you, Mr. Car Alarm. We'd love to listen to God's word, and thank you for stopping. That's good. So if you've drifted off, then please do come back, because perhaps it's at this moment that you need to tune back in. God, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit say, Jesus really is the real deal. You see, Jesus is one of us, but he's not like us. He's so much more. Do you remember that advert for, I think it's for Barocca. I don't even know what Barocca is. What is Barocca?
Vitamin C.
Vitamin C, okay. Okay, so you're supposed to take this thing, all right? And it makes you feel better? Is that how it works? Yeah, good. I've done my research. Okay, but I do know that the tagline for this, for the advert, you might remember it. It says, Barocca makes you, but on a really good day. Have you seen that one? You, but on a really good day. And so the idea is, if you take these vitamin supplements, you're going to be at your best. But Jesus is better than Barocca. He's not just me on a really good day. He's not just me at my very best. He actually does something that I could never do for myself. no matter how much Barocca I've taken. Jesus is unique. He is the eternally loved Son who succeeds where we fail. Just come back next week to see how that pans out in chapter 4. You see, for Jesus to be the real deal, he needs to be like us, but he needs to be unlike us as well. Only someone human can pay the price for people, and only someone perfect can pay the price for sin. Jesus is the humbly obedient one who alone is pleasing in God's sight. Look again at verse 17. This is phenomenal. A voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." With him I am well pleased. Why are we told that? Jesus is the eternally loved Son. But now, at this point, the Father chooses to say, "I'm pleased with him." It's not that before he was displeased with Jesus, but rather there was something about what Jesus had just done which was pleasing in the Father's sight. You see, Jesus is setting out on the Messiah path. His baptism was like a little movie trailer of what his life and death would hold. The pattern of this Messiah path is that the mighty one would be treated as lowly, that the great king would be treated like he was a nobody, the sinless one as though he was a sinner. And as Jesus steps into the Jordan to be baptized, those are the first steps on the Messiah path. He puts himself on a track which goes to one destination, the cross. The cross is the place where he would not simply identify with sinners, but die in the place of sinners, taking the punishment they deserve so that they could be washed clean, not just washed symbolically with water, but deeply and truly cleansed from the deep, dark stain of sin in their lives. And so his baptism is more than just following the crowd. His baptism is a humble act of obedience to the Father's will. And as the Father looks down and sees the Son take those first steps on the Messiah path, he looks down and he says, "With him I am well pleased." His arrival had ticked all the right boxes. And now his actions and his attitude prove that he is the real deal. Jesus, if you like, has this stamp of approval, the hallmark that says he stood the test, he's the real thing. And because he's the real deal, that means he can be trusted and he can be followed. And maybe some of us this morning are not trusting the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins this morning. By the way, that's what it means to become a Christian. Becoming a Christian is not about knowing stuff. It's not about coming to stuff. It's not about doing stuff. Becoming a Christian is all about trusting that Jesus is not like us, and yet he became one of us so that we could be washed. Maybe some of us here this morning think that we are Christians. We'd call ourselves Christians, but actually we're not. Becoming a Christian means recognizing that Jesus was identifying with you when he died on the cross. And it means saying, "Jesus, I want to identify with you." And if you've not yet trusted the Lord Jesus, then just check out the stamp. Check out the mark that he really is the real deal, is the true thing. This isn't a con. It's not fake. It's not a cult. It's not that we're trying to manipulate you in any way. Jesus stands the test. He's the real deal. And if your hopes are not pinned on Jesus, what are they pinned on? They will be pinned on something. You do have a Messiah. What are the things that you rely on to help deal with feelings of guilt? Where do you turn in times of failure? It might be that some of us, this might be something for some of the youngsters amongst us. If you're one of the young people, we're really glad that you're here, because church is for you as much as for anyone else. And perhaps you think, "Well, I am a Christian because my parents go to church and I'm coming with them." But for you as well, listen into this, because it's really important. And the adults as well. Where is it that we go to deal with feelings of guilt? Where do we turn in times of failure? How do you deal with worry? Where's your escape when life hurts? What's your hope in the face of death? Where do you look for meaning and purpose? You see, whatever your answer to those things are, that's your Messiah. But they're fake. They're not the real deal. It's like buying a fake handbag or a knockoff watch from someone on the street. It will let you down if it hasn't done so already. But Jesus, he is the real deal. He ticks all the boxes. He stands the test. He's proved himself to be everything that he says he is. And actually, there are many people sat around you this morning who could say from personal experience that he really is the real deal. He doesn't let us down. So I want to invite you this morning to take a look at the stamp. Just have a look. He's the real thing. Come to him as you are. And there may be others of us this morning who are trusting Jesus, but perhaps doubts are beginning to nag at your heart. Can I really trust Jesus? Is it wishful thinking? Does it really make any difference to the big things in life? Maybe you feel spiritually dry or drifting. Take a look at the stamp. He's the real deal. Can you think of a better Messiah than this? As Jesus starts his ministry, we see him walking a path that only the true Messiah could walk. He's one of us, but he's not like us. That's a Messiah I need. And that's a Messiah I can trust. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we live in a world where lots of things disappoint us. But there's a lot that is fake, a lot that is a con and leaves us empty. Or perhaps some of us have trusted things before and it's all gone wrong. And so we're wary about trusting anyone with our whole lives. Lord, as we look at the leaders around us, so often they disappoint. But we praise you for the Lord Jesus, the one who is the real deal. The one who is a leader unlike the leaders of this world. The one who is mighty and yet doesn't flash that around. The one who became one of us, who in humility identified with us in our weakness and our sinfulness so that we could be forgiven. We praise you that through the people's prince, we can know adoption into the royal family. And so help us to trust Jesus, the real deal. Would you help us also to imitate his example of humbly putting aside our comforts and conveniences for the sake of others, that they might be saved. Forgive us for when we prefer our own comfort. Help us, Father, to be those who trust the real deal. Today, but not just today, in the weeks and the months to come. And we pray it so that Jesus might be honoured as the true Messiah that he is. Amen.
Amen.